Nothing we've done. Not a single thing we've done. This is a typical, of course, it's ABC. Not a single thing we've done has put an American troop in more of a harm's way.
Not a single thing you've done has put an American troop more in harm's way? Is that an actual sentence made by our Secretary of Defense this morning after 13 U.S. soldiers have died, hundreds of casualties have been seen, and multiple U.S. soldiers even got lost in the country of Iran after being shot down by our enemy, who you claim has no missiles and no military whatsoever? Now, the reality is, Iran's military has been degraded, but to claim that they are done for, that their military is eradicated, and that they can't bounce back from this is an absolute lie, and those are the types of lies that Pete Hegseth and this administration are trying to tell now that they have surrendered to the Iranian regime. I was talking with my foreign policy advisor friend like a week ago. He helps me prep for these debates. And about a week ago, he was listing to me some of the worst-case scenario outcomes for this war. Nowhere on that list was a civilization ending. That threat had not been made yet, and we didn't think that that was even, you know, a reality. I still don't think it is. But on that list was a very bad scenario in which Iran is able to collect money through the Strait of Hormuz, therefore getting richer, rebuilding faster than they ever could have dreamed of, and hurting the United States' standing on the global stage. Well, guess what? We have reached that exact position, and this is a crushing humiliation for the United States. I want to show you the way that Pete Hegseth and the people around him are trying to play this off, when in reality, again, this tweet I'm about to read indicates a crushing humiliation. The New York Times is reporting that Iran, in addition to gaining administrative control over the Strait of Hormuz, will now charge $2 million per ship for straight passage, which it will now split with Oman. It was free to pass pre-war. We've essentially regressed. We've made reverse progress, and Trump and Netanyahu have increased Iranian leverage over the global economy. Not only that, but we've created an environment where Iran can collect money through the Strait of Hormuz, and we've legitimized the idea of piracy. I mean, of course, the United States committed piracy a few months back under Trump, but we've legitimized this idea that any country that has a coast with the shipping passage off of it can just point missiles off of that coast and then control that in perpetuity. There are all sorts of international laws and norms around this exact thing, stopping this exact thing from happening. And now Trump said, F international law, we just want to get out of this war and we're going to give Iran exactly what they want. My foreign policy friend said, why can't Malaysia just start demanding cash for ships going through the Strait of Malacca? Or Turkey for ships going through the Bosporus? Or Denmark for ships going through the Baltic Sea? Or hell, why can't the UK put missiles in Gibraltar and demand all shipping entering the Mediterranean pay a toll? He's plunging us into a world where the only law slash norm is that force rules. If Trump continues plunging us into this world, it will be a dark future. Let's break down what Pete Hegseth says. If you appreciate the analysis on this show, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Ockler feed. And I decided to cut to the area where Pete Hegseth starts to get questions and gives answers, because he does this whole propaganda spiel for 30 minutes about how we've won, about how Iran is no longer really a country. It's all just lies. So I said, let's just skip to the question and answer when people actually begin to push back on the lies.
Now, as was announced last night. Yes, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and thank you both for the update. President Trump posted on Truth Social this morning that there has been a very productive regime change in Iran, and that there will be no enrichment of uranium, and the U.S. will work with Iran to dig up and remove the deeply buried nuclear dust. So I just have two questions here. So both you, Mr. Secretary, and the President have referred to a new regime in Iran. So is this not the regime that was at war with us for 47 years? And how do we, what do we think of when we're saying that this is a new regime? What are we thinking and what are we saying there? And then my second question is, with any future deal with Iran, is their handing over of all of their enriched uranium and they're promising not to enrich any future uranium a non-negotiable for the U.S.?
Well, it's always been non-negotiable that they won't have nuclear capabilities. And so right now it's buried and we're watching it. We know exactly what they have, and they know that. And they will either give it to us, which the president has laid out. They'll give it to us voluntarily. We'll get it. We'll take it. We'll take it out. Or if we have to do something else ourselves, like we did Midnight Hammer or something like that, we reserve that opportunity. But what's clear, what the Iranian, the new Iranian regime knows, is they'll never have a nuclear weapon or the capability to get a path to one. As far as the new regime, you heard the list that I...
Wait, I'm sorry, I have to pause it. Did I just hear that right? Did he just threaten, like 12 hours after a ceasefire was reached, did he just threaten to restart the prior operation, Midnight Hammer, in order to go get their enriched uranium? So they don't even know if we're going to be able to have the enriched uranium. He just said we might have to go in and take it someday. This is the exact argument that I've been making in these debates on CNN. I called it the perpetual treadmill of warfare, where we strike, then we wait about 8 months, and then we strike again, and then we're perpetually overseeing Iran, quote, bombing them back to the Stone Age. That's what Pete Hegseth says. I can't believe what I just heard. He ranted for 30 minutes about how we had complete and total victory. And then let me go back a minute. Am I hearing this right? Now he's saying we don't even have the enriched uranium, and now we, like, reserve the opportunity to go back to war with them at any moment? Let me listen to this.
Well, that they won't have nuclear capabilities. And so right now it's buried, and we're watching it. We know exactly what they have, and they know that. And they will either give it to us, which the president has laid out. They'll give it to us voluntarily. We'll get it. We'll take it. We'll take it out. Or if we have to do something else ourselves, like we did Midnight Hammer or something like that, we reserve that opportunity.
But why would they ever give it to you voluntarily when they currently have control over the Strait of Hormuz? Iran is the country with more leverage in this situation. They're not going to be giving anything up voluntarily.
But it's clear what the new Iranian regime knows is they'll never have a nuclear weapon or the capability to get a path to one. As far as the new regime, you heard the list that I read. It's a new group of people who've seen the full capability of the United States military and has a new calculus about what it means to negotiate with us, hence why they came to the table wanting a ceasefire and the shooting to stop. So this new...
It is not a regime change. I explained this a lot on the Adam Mockler show, but the regime is not one person. It is not Khamenei. It is not his son. It is not one group of people. It is not their navy or their air force. The Iranian regime is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC that is so deeply entrenched within Iran, you can't enact regime change without just going to war and invading the country, which nobody wants to do. The IRGC is their force of hundreds of thousands of people that, yes, will kill citizens, yes, will repress citizens, and after they're done with their time in the IRGC, they go into service for public life. So they'll work at banks or schools, they'll work at certain governmental institutions so that former IRGC members then become the government. It is deeply entrenched in this country. We did not enact regime change. Everything will be back to normal right when the United... I would even argue that in the long term, the regime will likely bounce back to its prior point, maybe even stronger, because they have new leverage over the region. They have a new way of collecting money, a new way of gaining money. Let me show you this rather heated interaction that Pete Hegseth gets in with a reporter. Then he gets more and more petulant throughout these questions, snapping at more reporters, attacking more reporters. I mean, listen, it's insufferable when Trump attacks reporters, of course, but when his cronies around him try to do it, it's 10 times more transparent and annoying. Just watch Pete Hegseth getting into it with this reporter.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and General Kane. Mary Margaret with the Daily Wire. Two questions. Iran has said that safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz will be possible in coordination with Iran's armed forces and, quote, technical limitations. What do you believe that means? And then we've also heard reports that Iran has continued striking targets well into this morning. At what point are we beyond a grace period? Are we giving them a grace period? Is there a miscommunication there? What's going on with that?
What we know is that Iran is going to say a lot of things. A lot of people are going to say a lot of things, claim a lot of things. What has been agreed to, what's been stated, is the strait is open. Our military is watching. Sure, their military is watching, but commerce will flow. And that's what you saw the markets react to, is that reality. As far as shooting, that we were monitoring it last night in real time. Of course we are. Iran would be wise to find a way to get the carrier pigeon to their troops out in remote locations to know not to shoot any longer. One-way attacks or missiles, because takes time sometimes for ceasefires to take hold. We're watching it. We're prepared if necessary.
Listen, I'm no military strategist, and I'm not going to claim to be a military strategist. But I do know one thing. If you're going to claim that you're in a ceasefire with the other side, yet the other side still has groups and factions firing ballistic missiles at Israel and other surrounding countries, then I do not think you are in a ceasefire. I think you might have been tricked by the other side into accepting a deal that is good for them while they continue to fire ballistic missiles. The reporting says that there are differing factions throughout Iran. Some of them have accepted the ceasefire. Some of them have not accepted the ceasefire. They might be more radical or more, you know, stuck in their positions. So that means that we're negotiating with a country that is split into different factions, and about a third, two-thirds of the country is still firing. That does not make sense. That is not a ceasefire. A reporter points out this exact thing, and Pete Hegseth just shuts it down.
We're prepared, if necessary, but we hope and believe that it'll hold. Yes.
Thank you, Secretary Hegseth.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Why are you so rude? Just wait. I'm calling on people.
Thank you, Secretary.
Why are you so rude is what they ask when they mean, why are you asking me an actual legitimate question? They've done this to me on the panels as well. I want to point out that as Pete Hegseth is giving this presser, Trump sends out this post, which is absolutely batshit crazy and utter humiliation for the United States. He says, "A big day for world peace. Iran wants it to happen. They've had enough." Okay, by the way, Iran is still firing. Different factions of Iran, they're still firing. We're getting duped. Likewise, so is everyone else. The United States of America will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. There will be lots of positive action. Big money will be made. What does this mean, big money will be made? For who? For you and the oil execs? The American people are struggling. Iran can start the reconstruction process. I thought they were a terrorist regime. Why do you want them to build? We'll be loading up with supplies of all kinds and just hanging around in order to make sure everything goes well. I feel confident that it will. Just like we are experiencing in the U.S., this could be the golden age of the Middle East. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It is in no way a golden age for the average American or for anybody in America. I recently had somebody tell me that they were trying to get glasses that they need for work, necessary glasses that they need to function. And when they were trying to import these specific glasses, there was a $60 tariff fee they had to pay. They said, usually this wouldn't be a big deal. I would be able to eat that. But it just so happened that the gas price at the pump is spiking so high that I'm being stretched thin. Then they sarcastically said, okay, well, at least I still have my ACA subsidy extension. And then we realized, whoa, the average American is getting like quadruple effed by the Trump administration right now in regards to healthcare, housing, inflation, grocery prices, and gas prices. Okay, I listed more than four things. The average American is getting completely cooked. So if that's what you define as a golden age, Trump, then the Middle East is heading towards a rough, even rougher time. Let's return back to Pete Hegseth's meltdown of a press conference. He gets asked, hey, like the president yesterday threatened to wipe out a civilization. Can we return to that for just one moment?
Yesterday in the president's Truth Social, he threatened to wipe out a civilization. That statement elicited a huge response in America. If Iran did not come to the table and make a deal yesterday by the deadline, was the president really prepared to wipe out Iran entirely?
Like I said, we had a target set locked and loaded of infrastructure, bridges, power plants. Remember, this is a terror regime, a military regime. Use all of these things for dual use to fund their military, to fund their terror campaigns. We had a lot of legitimate targets. They knew exactly the scope of what we were capable of. We hit some military targets on Karg, which is a bit of a signal. They can't defend it. And so Iran ultimately understood their ability, their future, to produce, to generate power, to fuel their terrorist regime was in our hands, was in President Trump's hands. That's why they came to the table. He ultimately said, we can take it all from you. Your ability to export energy will be taken away. And the United States military has the ability to strike those things with impunity. That type of threat is what brought them to the place where they effectively said, hey, okay, we want to cut this deal.
Oh my God, this has got to be the least convincing victory lap I've ever seen. It's like falling and breaking your arm on lap two, coming in last place, and then trying to do a victory lap claiming that you've won. He also just answered a completely different question than what he was asked. I hate when they do this. He gets asked, hey, Trump said he was going to end an entire civilization. Was he actually going to do that? And Pete Hegseth then answers the question, were we actually going to strike their energy infrastructure? That's not what you were asked. He starts going, yeah. We were considering striking specific key energy infrastructure to cripple the regime. Okay, Pete Hegseth, nobody was asking you about that. We were asking you about the civilization-ending threat that Donald Trump made. Here is the next question in which Pete Hegseth snaps on a reporter over the Strait of Hormuz.
First, a question to General Kane, sir. In your personal opinion, were the risks of the Strait of Hormuz being closed because of the conflict, were they mitigated early enough and part of the decision-making process to lead up to the decision to take action against Iran. And in your opinion, is Iran in control of the Strait of Hormuz? We just heard the Secretary. First, a question to General Kane, sir. In your personal opinion, were the risks of the Strait of Hormuz being closed because of the conflict, were they mitigated early enough in part of the decision-making process to lead up to the decision to take action against Iran? And in your opinion, is Iran in control of the Strait of Hormuz? We just heard the Secretary say that Iran is letting them ships through, which would imply that potentially it's not just... the Secretary also said that the U.S., that the Strait is open. You did say that, sir. But in your opinion, sir, how can the U.S. ensure safe passage? Mr. Secretary, can you say today that the United States achieved, the administration achieved the military goals that you were, you've constantly delineated? But strategically, is that a victory because of that? And also, you said earlier that the president chose mercy. But you yourself had said 3 weeks ago that we will give no quarter to Iranian troops. How do you correlate those two? And do you think that your comments may have put American troops at risk?
No. I try to be nice up here, but you did listen to what I said, right? I laid out the objectives. We believe we've accomplished them, and it's a historic military victory. And President Trump has the option as the commander-in-chief to compel an adversary to the table, which is precisely what he did. And at the end, he chose to say, you know what, I'd rather talk to you at the table than obliterate your capability to export oil and fund your terror regime. So he did make that choice. That was his choice. He was a president of peace, and he's been willing to make those really tough calls that the American people elected him to do. Nothing we've done, not a single thing we've done, this is a typical, of course it's ABC, not a single thing we've done has put an American troop in more of a harm's way. We've only set our troops up to harm Iranian military capabilities, which they've done to devastating fashion.
This is all such an unconvincing victory lap, as I just said. We have given Iran total control over this region, and Trump is trying to act like we've won. I'm going to leave it there. I've got more videos coming out throughout the day, so drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. I love you all, and peace out.